save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We are back. We are better than ever. Starting 502 Podcast, powered by Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon, part of the State of Louisville Podcast Network. Presley Meyer, Jake Hook, back once again, the dynamic duo. It's been over 2 weeks, Jake, I think, since the last time we spoke. And a lot's happened, including both of us getting engaged on the same day. Yeah, so that's official. That's official if anybody hasn't been checking out social media or anything. Yeah, like 2 weeks ago, I didn't have a voice, and you recorded with Jacob, right?
Yeah.
And then it was Jacob with Ty Spaulding and Matt McGavick. And then, yeah, it's just been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind. And then, you know, the last few days, bookending the weekends, we were hosting the Mike Rutherford Show on Big X Radio. I'm sure everybody follows along with the Mike Rutherford Show as well. So there's just been so much going on. Jake, first of all, congratulations on your engagement. You know, you and I have nothing going on, really. Just, you know, engaged, moving into homes. I mean, what else?
It's really, yeah, it's a simple time of my life. Just looking at wedding venues, trying to pack an apartment, move into a house, buy new furniture, plan a wedding, all of the things that everyone really has to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So, and then with Coach Kelsey reaching out to a guard every 6 to 7 minutes, I've had my time occupied for sure.
Dude, it's been unbelievable, but I'm glad that we can get back on the horn and connect and talk to the fans about what the heck is going on. I guess, first of all, let's start off with, what's Louisville's roster look like right now? I mean, as we stand April 17th, 2024, what does this Louisville basketball roster look like? And the most recent commit for Louisville is Javon Hadley out of Colorado. Jake has, if you've not paid attention to the site, Jake has written so far about 5,500, 6,000, maybe even more words on players that Louisville has contacted in the transfer portal. And Javon Hadley was not one of them. I got kind of a guy that came out of nowhere a little bit, but after, you know, he visited Louisville, it seemed like that really sealed the deal. Quick thoughts on Javon Hadley.
Yeah, I mean, I went to New York over the weekend, so it's been tough trying to keep up. I think we've got over more than 20 names on that list, but there's still like 10 I've got to add because Coach Kelsey apparently does not sleep. All he does is just contact potential transfer portal players. Yep. And I had Javon Hadley on like my Google sheet as a guy to eventually write about, but because he hadn't visited, I was like, oh yeah, he's probably not a serious look at this point. Once we get a scheduled visit, then I'll start to write about him. And then boom, it's down to us in USC. Boom, he's visiting this day. Boom, he's committing literally like 2 hours later. So it all kind of just came out of nowhere. But I've sat down, I've watched a couple of his games, and I really like him. I think he's a guy that, just a guy that's super versatile, can play with anybody, is going to make everybody on the court better. I don't think he's a give him the ball, ISO, let him score on his man. But if he has an advantage, whether it's a size differential in the post or if his guard is too far in the paint or if he's jumped on a shot fake, then he's going to take advantage. So I love it. I think that's a guy that we can add three, four other score first kinds of players, and he can facilitate so well and just kind of blend into whatever he needs to do for this team. So it's a great, the term is used a lot, but glue guy. He is. He's a glue guy. He's like a more guard oriented Dwayne Sutton is the way I view him.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. I mean, that was the comparison that I made. Build wise, you know, he's a bigger, more physical guard, like a la Chris Smith comes to mind for whatever reason. I don't think he's as athletic as a David Johnson. So, you know, you try to think of some of the bigger guards that have come through Louisville. They're kind of few and far between, honestly. You know, going back to the Pitino era, it was all about those little pesky guards. So yeah, really a huge change of pace. You know, Hadley, you know, feels like a good compliment to Edwards. It feels like a good compliment to what they're trying to get in the portal. I mean, Pat Kelsey is clearly going after these larger guards that can also play like a small forward type of position. You know, Javon Hadley can, and Terrence Edwards as well, a guy that, you know, we haven't really talked about much. I know we talked about, you know, it's been talked about on the pod, and it's probably, you know, at this point, repetitive news. But, I mean, Terrence Edwards and Javon Hadley, two guys that are versatile, can play the two through four, defend the one through four probably, you know, good enough ball handlers. You know, Javon Hadley, the thing that stands out to me about him is, number one, is his defense and his defensive tenacity. He was rated the fourth best defensive player for Colorado this past season, but I think he typically drew the most difficult assignment for Colorado this season. So that'll be something that's interesting to watch. You know, does he get a lot more minutes right away just because he's a much better defender? And he's also a tremendous rebounder for his size. You know, you said Dwayne Sutton in the guard's body, which is kind of what I thought at first because – you know, he doesn't appear to be a guy, you know, he's not seeking out his shot. He attempted 48 threes this past season. I don't think he didn't even make a three his first year at Colorado, if I remember correctly. It's just not, you know, he can shoot at a high clip. He just doesn't seek it out. Kind of like a, you know, if you want to do a women's basketball comparison, kind of like a Mikasa Robinson, you know, and would be undersized for a forward, but can play the forward position because he rebounds so well for his size. You know, just has all the intangibles just to do a lot of things that you don't see from a player of his size and stature. And his coaches had rave reviews for him at Colorado. So in unconventional approach for Javon Hadley, you know, he's a guy that went to a smaller school in Northeastern, was only there for like 13 games and then went to the JUCO route and then back to Colorado for two seasons under Tad Boyle, who is a guy that doesn't get enough credit at all in the college basketball scene. A guy that, you know, they were a play away from making the Sweet 16 this season at Colorado, who's traditionally just been one of the worst Power Five programs out there. So, yeah, I'm could not be more excited for the way that that's shaping up. And then, you know, if you look to add one more forward, you know, Trey Townsend is the guy that's standing out to me right now. Just getting into players that Louisville has offered and that are visiting. Trey Townsend, a guy that you may know from Oakland, that had a tremendous game in the first round of the NCAA tournament when they were playing. Oh God, who were they playing? Was it? It was Kentucky. That's right. Yeah. Tremendous first round game there from Trey Townsend. But he did that kind of stuff all year. You know, almost kind of a double double type of guy, 17 points a game. Really physical, you know, kind of power forward. It would be interesting to see if, you know, Louisville's still trying to land a guy like that. If you can still hold on to Terrence Edwards and Javon Hadley, guys that can play the three, you know, two, three, and four, you know, a lot of positional versatility here. And it's not in a way that Kenny Payne structured it, right? Like, it felt like Kenny Payne was just like copying and pasting the type of guys that he was getting. Like, there wasn't a lot of positional versatility in the sense that, like, you know, you had a lot of guys that it felt like they should have played the three. Like, it felt like there was like six threes on last year's team.
We'd get wings, and then we'd go on Twitter and say they're forwards, they're wings, they're not guards. And then everyone would be like, no, that's a guard. KP finally got a guard. And then you watch him play and you're like, wait, Trey White is not a guard.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Yeah. You know, Mike James, probably more of a three than a two type of situation. You know, Sky Clark, more of a two than a one. It was a constant battle during the Kenny Payne era. It feels like, though, you know, if you have Terrence Edwards or Javon Hadley at the two, like, I'm comfortable with that. It's not, you know, they're guys that shoot the ball well. They're guys that can post up. That they're multifaceted, and they can do whatever the game dictates. So, I'm looking at a guy like Townsend from Oakland to maybe be the last guy to kind of fill out, round out that last roster spot. You know, other guards that Louisville's offered other forwards that Louisville's offered in the transfer portal: Xavier Amos from Northern Illinois, Tucker Anderson from Central Arkansas. You got Brandon Johnson from East Carolina, but he's actually committed to Miami, a guy that we talked about the last time we spoke. Sean Moore, a guy from Farley Dickinson that a lot of people liked, ended up at UNC Wilmington. Farrell Payne from Minnesota, a quality player, 6'9", kind of, you know, quasi-center almost, from Minnesota. He's still uncommitted, but, you know, no timetable on that commitment or anything. The other guy that stands out there at the forward position to me is Abubakar Traore, or Traore. Did I say
what
that?
Name? Abubakar. I have no idea.
Abu. Would we call him Abu? Would we call him
Abu? I like Abu.
Yeah, Abs, Abu, you know. Long Beach State, a guy that is, again, one of these guys that is just multifaceted, could play a bunch of different positions all over the floor. 6'5", 195 guard, but, I mean, you watch his highlights. Dude's, like, getting up to SWAT shots at the rim.
He's definitely more of a – I think he's more of a forward, plays more like a three or a four and kind of that undersized frame. Dude can do everything except for shoot the basketball. Like, great in transition, really long, lengthy, kind of a little bit like lesser skilled Pascal Siakam. Obviously, Siakam kind of added that three-point shot to his game eventually, but, like, finishes well in the paint, plays well in transition, rebounds well for his size, averaged nearly 5 assists a game last year, 1.5 steals, 1.4 blocks. So dude does it all except for shoot. Guy has a broken jumper, shot 9% from three last year. He only averaged, like, I think half an attempt a game. So it wasn't like he was, like, just killing his team, shooting and missing a bunch of threes. But dude can do everything except for shoot.
Yeah, I mean, that would indicate – I haven't looked at his official stats, but that's, like, 1 for 10 on the season, basically. 1 for 11, something like that. So
it was, he was not a high volume shooter or an effective shooter.
Not a guy that's going to be popping threes very often. And that seems like that's the other thing, you know, we're kind of bouncing around here just a little bit, but, you know, what the staff is wanting to get out of the portal, it seems like almost every guy that they're offering is a really solid shooter. I mean, nine out of every 10 players that they offer is a really, really good shooter. And that's kind of how it was at College of Charleston, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what PK wants. He wants 4, and if he can have it, 5 shooters on the floor at all time. I was writing in that article, if you're a guard that shoots more than 4 threes a game at above 35% from three, you're getting a call from Pat Kelsey. Like, that's what it's been this offseason.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, looking at the roster, just to back up just for a second, the way things stand right now, the only player we haven't heard about from last season is Hersey Miller. There's been, like, quiet talk about him potentially coming back, a guy that's going to be a walk-on. He's making more NIL than probably, you know, 10 of the guys on this roster will make. He makes $500,000 a year, which is just crazy, crazy town. But yeah, so we're looking at probably Hersey Miller, and then Terrence Edwards Jr., Javon Hadley, again, two guards slash forwards, Rayne Smith, who is definitely a shooting guard. If there's a player on this team that just does what he does and is locked in at his position, that'd be Rayne Smith. And then James Scott, you know, a guy that we're not talking about a lot and a guy that's probably not a starter next season. But, you know, I was listening to the Field of 68 guys this morning, you know, good old 3:30 a.m. while I'm boarding my flight this morning. And they were talking about, you know, James Scott and how he was under recruited out of high school. You know, they said, you know, if you went back and listened to, you know, their conversations when he committed to College of Charleston, they felt that was a guy that was like a North Carolina type of player, like a guy who could develop into what, and they think will be an NBA talent. So, you know, a lot of people were really disappointed with, you know, bringing over James Scott because he was just a 5 point per game type of player. This is a guy that's shooting, what is it, 82% from the field this season. So
it's something insane. All he does is dunk the ball. Anytime he gets it, I'm a dunk it.
Yeah. So tremendous athlete. I'm excited to see him, but the guy that could be right there next to him is Jaden Quaintance. And it has been made official. He is visiting on Thursday, the 18th. So April 18th, Jaden Quaintance. It's a hard name to say. Jaden Quaintance. It's like acquaintance without the A. If his middle name is Adam, we got to call him acquaintance. Like that just makes sense. Jaden Quaintance was a longtime commit to the University of Kentucky. When John Calipari left, Quaintance decided to open up his recruitment, just like I'm pretty sure every recruit except for one now has at Kentucky. And Quaintance is a top 10 player in this class. So he'd be an incoming freshman. And he's a center who can pretty much do it all. I don't know who you'd compare him to, but this is a guy that he does not turn 17 until July 11th. So he's still 16 right now. Whenever he commits and signs somewhere, he's going to be 16 years old and starting off the season freshly 17. So that means that he has 2 years in college basketball. Now, the way things are going, you know, everything wound up perfect and he ended up at Louisville. That doesn't mean that he's guaranteed to be at Louisville, you know, a year from now. But with all that in mind, I mean, that's not a guy that you would turn down. And it'd be unprecedented for Pat Kelsey to land a guy like this. You know, most of the guys that he's brought in his entire career, because of what, you know, what was necessitated, the type of players that you get at the level that he was coaching at, you know, he never had an opportunity to land players like this. What kind of statement would that make? And what does Quaintance bring to the table?
I mean, landing a guy like Quaintance would be huge. I mean, there are probably some more year one impactful players that we could land in the transfer portal. But I mean, that would make waves in college basketball. Him landing a top 10 recruit at Louisville in his first month on the job also helps out that he was a former UK commit. So, I mean, that would be ginormous. And Quaintance as a player, I mean, he's 6'9". A little thin to play the center position in college right now, but I don't know how much weight he'll put on because I think he's got that NBA body that they want to play that 4 or 5, but 7'3" wingspan. So just long as hell, average like more than almost 3 blocks a game in the Overtime Elite League, nearly 2 steals a game, 17 points, 12 rebounds. So, I mean, dude does it all. I watched him last year whenever I was trying to figure out who Tyler Johnson was, whenever he officially came to Louisville and they played in that same league together. And he was 15 years old playing against 17, 18, sometimes 19 year old kids in that Overtime Elite League. And he was one of the best players on the court all the time. So, I mean, dude is good about being patient, strong around the rim. I would say solid post moves, not electric. You're not going to rely, you're not going to Zach Edey him. You're not going to feed him the post every time and just let him go to work. But has the strength and athleticism to be a threat, to easily get a dump off, just dunk it over somebody, dunk tips, all that stuff. Really good foot speed, helps him out in transition and helps him out in the pick and roll defense. So you get a guy like this and you assume that you get to keep him for 2 years. I mean, that's a program changing player, especially for Pat Kelsey to land less than a month into the job.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's not done growing. you know, if you listen to interviews, he still sounds like a kid. I mean, I know he is a kid, but he sounds like,
I don't think he has his intermediate yet.
Yeah. He can't drive himself anywhere as of right now, at least not in the state of Kentucky. So it would be a fascinating get, but I think one important thing to remember too, when you're considering a prospect like this, he already has a 7'3" to 7'4" wingspan. He's listed at 6'9", but he's probably going to grow even more. You know, and like I said, the point of pointing out that he still sounds like a kid is he's got some growing to do. He's still literally just a, you know, in theory, he's the age of most kids who are sophomores or juniors in high school. So to land a player like this, you know, I mean, you read his scouting breakdown from Adam Finkelstein on 247 Sports. He's one of the most naturally talented prospects in the country. Vertical athleticism, strong frame, good hand, soft touch, shooting potential, natural face-up skills, and signs of passing instinct. Runs the floor well and is a solid rebounder. I mean, you know, this is a guy that if you get him in a system with the right coaches, you know, the sky's the limit. Like he'd be an instant impact guy right now. And to, you know, add it in the fact that, you know, he's being considered by, you know, I'm sure every big name school in the country is wanting to get in on this guy. So the fact that Pat Kelsey is getting him on campus, the fact that he's a guy that was committed to UK for a long time, you know, that says a lot about what this coaching staff can and will accomplish. You know, and it's these, you know, a lot of these connections, we're already seeing them paying dividends. You know, we talked a lot about the Word of God players, you know, Davin Crosby Jr. Is another one as well, right? Has he officially set up his visit to Louisville? Or
I saw somewhere that somebody said, I couldn't get it official, but I did see a tweet that said that it was in the long list of names, Ali Khalifa, Abubakar Traore, all those guys. And Davin Crosby was listed in there that he was visiting this week. I don't think I've seen like a Ty Spalding or a Mike Rutherford or a Jody Demling confirm that, but I have seen it on Twitter that he's expected to visit.
It's it'll be really interesting to watch. I mean, there are just a ton of guys that will be on campus Thursday through Sunday. Trey Townsend, you know, they're looking to get the Thunder commit. You know, get him in town, let him see those fireworks. Like he won't leave without committing. Come on.
We'll be right back after this commercial break.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Mr. and Mrs. is for everyone. From a more traditional 90 proof to a cash drink that's smoother. In 2013, Russ, go into the hole, and boy, could you use that right now. Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon covers tastes, all different tastes of preferences, six different bourbons that they're offering. Be among the first to try Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon, the official bourbon of State of Louisville and the Starting 502 podcast, on shelves anywhere you find your liquor, and now online at Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon.com. Go check it out.
In all seriousness, there's a number of other, I don't even know which direction you'd want to go at this point. They've offered, or not offered, but they've reached out to, that we know of, it looks like 19 guards. And it, you know, a lot of it's kind of like, how do you characterize a guard? But 19 guys that aren't a four or five, right? I think that's a better way to put it. It's very clear what Louisville's looking for. But I mean, I'd be interested to see a guy like Boopy Miller from Wake Forest, a guy that, you know, we were super high on last season that just absolutely ate Louisville's lunch. You know, you got Corin Johnson from Washington, Boogie Fland, another guy that, was he not committed to Kentucky? Is that correct? Yeah.
And so he decommitted yesterday, two or three days ago.
Yeah. So he was committed to Kentucky. I think he chose them over Memphis. Is that right? And it sounds like, from everything that I've heard about Boogie Fland, that is a guy that's, he's a McDonald's All-American. He's a guy that, you know, it seems like he'd be one of those guys to follow Cal to Arkansas. But he said, you know, he's come out and said that Louisville is the school that's pursuing him the hardest right now. What do you know about Boogie Fland?
I've watched him a little bit. I actually watched him when I was in New York. Was it New York? The McDonald's All-American game. I believe it was over the weekend. And Boogie Fland was the best player on his team. I think he scored like 17 points, 5 rebounds, a few assists, but like just naturally gifted scorer. Kind of reminds me of Rob Dillingham, which is why it made so much sense for him to go to UK or follow Calipari to Arkansas. But just like, dude can score at all three levels, mid-range, three-point, at the rim, and will just like, kind of how you would like, you're playing good defense on Rob Dillingham, and then next thing you know, he just pulls up and splashes a three from 26 feet away with a dude in his face. And that's the kind of ability that Boogie Fland has. 6'2", 175, so a little on the smaller side when it comes to his frame, or at least his thickness. 6'2 is not too bad. But I mean, just really crafty finisher, kind of that Northeast style of play where he can score any way you can possibly think of. So I wouldn't hold my breath on getting a commit from a guy like Boogie Fland, because he already has that tie with Cal. Arkansas has nobody on their roster. I think they have one player on their roster right now, so they have plenty of guys to fill that roster. So I wouldn't expect him to land it, but it's still nice to see that Coach Kelsey is so aggressively going after some of the best talent.
I mean, he's swinging for the fences, dude. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there though in the portal that, I mean, I'm kind of addicted to the experience factor now. Like, I just think that that's the future. You know, it's nice to look at players like a Boogie Fland or like a Jaden Quaintance. And don't get me wrong, Louisville's not going to turn those guys down if they want to come here. But you know, I still get super excited over a guy like Dante Maddox from Toledo. And that's a guy that he visited last week at the same time, I believe, as Nick Boyd, you know, who was a kind of a secondary guard for FAU. I'm interested to see what happens with Dante Maddox. From everything that we're hearing, it's down to Louisville and Xavier. He is an Illinois native, and everybody was thought that he would lean Illinois, especially because they have that massive NIL bag. But Illinois has recently grabbed a couple of guards. It looks like it'd be really hard to find significant playing time at Illinois. And Louisville's still in need of a point guard. And I think Dante Maddox is a guy that fits the bill perfectly for them. You know, kind of an athletic freak, excellent instinctive passer. It sounds like, you know, Louisville may be a slight favorite for him. But, you know, if Xavier's making a big push, Sean Miller is a tough guy to pry away. Pry recruits away from. Thoughts on Dante Maddox? I mean, are you as high on him as I am? Or do you think that there's so many options out there, it wouldn't be a huge deal if Louisville missed on him?
I'm pretty high on him. I mean, from the fact that we do, I mean, we've reached out to a ton of guards, but we, the only guard we have on the roster right now is Rain Smith, and he's not a point guard. I mean, he can facilitate the offense, but I don't think he's the guy that you want to be bringing the ball up the court every time and running the offense through him. He's more of like a secondary player, tertiary, get it, attack with an advantage, then make a good pass kind of thing. Not really like a pick and roll guy that's going to create off the bounce. So, and Dante Maddox to me has that ability to play off the bounce, and also shot 45% from three 2 years ago, shot 40% from three last year on nearly six attempts a game. I mean, to me, just start sending him in his DMs, just tape of College of Charleston from last year. And just be like, that can be you. That can be you. That can be you. I mean, I think he's a perfect fit for what we need. We need guards. We need ball handlers, and with his ability to shoot. So to me, I think I would be definitely very hurt if he didn't land. There's still so many we've reached out to, so it wouldn't be a kill shot, but I'd certainly be hurt.
Yeah, I mean, Dante Maddox, a thing that stands out about him, and we talked about this on the Rutherford show this past week, he has NBA range. I think he made, according to, what is it, transfer portal stats or whatever, you know, the one that makes a ton of these highlight videos. Shout out to, we got to get their name right, but I think it's something like that, college basketball stats or transfer portal stats or something like that. Dante Maddox made, I believe it was 27 threes from beyond 25 feet last year. So he's a guy who has some legit range. You know, we used to call it Steph Curry range. I think we call it Caitlin Clark range now. I mean, I don't think there's a better experience fit out there for Louisville than Dante Maddox. The thing that gives me pause, and I mean, you tell me what you think about this, Jake. The thing that gives me pause about Dante Maddox is if it just comes down to who's willing to pay more for him, I'm not sure that I like the idea of that. You know, because especially with the way that they're trying to assemble this roster, you know, it seems like Kelsey so far has four commits from guys that are coming here because they see themselves fitting at Louisville, because they want to play for the coaching staff, because they feel like that's the best decision for them. If it's ultimately, you know, something where, and I'm not saying that this is 100% the reason why he'd come here, but if it's ultimately Louisville offered him, you know, $50,000 more than, that's totally hypothetical, by the way, you know, 10% more than Xavier did, you know, does that make you feel any kind of way, or is that just how it is now?
I think it's how it is. I mean, from what I've heard, we landed Terrence Edwards Jr. because of the NIL that we offered him, because his coach at James Madison, where did he go take a job? Do you remember? He got a new job somewhere. I can't remember where it's at, though.
I don't remember. I don't even want to look it up. Keep going. Keep riffing.
So it's, logically, it would have made sense for him to just go follow his coach to a bigger program. But instead, he chose Louisville. And I think I heard Rutherford say that someone asked, how much did we pay Terrence Edwards Jr. more than, because I think at that time, some of the numbers were coming out for guys and it was in the million range. AJ Storr said it, that he wanted $1 million, and someone asked, did he get paid $1 million? He was like, no, it's not $1 million, but it's in between 500,000 and $1 million, and it's closer to $1 million than it is 500,000. So I think it's just, that's the name of the game, but you're right. We still have so many spots to fill that if the price is going up for a Dante Maddox Jr. because Xavier only needs to fill three spots and they can throw him $900,000 or something like that, but we've still got to fill out nine more spots on this roster and say we've got 2.5 million left, can we afford to throw all of that money, $1 million, at Dante Maddox Jr.? So I'm with you to the point. I don't love it. I wish that college basketball was the way that it used to be. Guys were still getting paid then too. It's just a lot more transparent now. But I think that is what it is.
It's tough, man. It is tough. But I mean, you know, nobody gets upset, I guess, if you think about it this way, right? Nobody gets upset when a high profile player leaves during free agency because another team has a higher salary cap. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way we have to kind of start seeing it. By the way, Mark Byington, James Madison's head coach, went to Vanderbilt, and James Madison hired Preston Spradlin from Morehead State. So two great moves, great move for Vanderbilt. Surprise Chris Mack. I mean, I like where Chris Mack landed at College of Charleston. I think it's hysterical that and not in like an ironic or negative way in any way. I just think it's funny that Chris Mack ended up at College of Charleston. And in the same way, you know, I thought it was weird that I thought for sure he'd be a shoo-in for the Vanderbilt job. So great hire by Vanderbilt, great hire by James Madison. You know, the coaching, you know, coaching tree, coaching, you know, change madness that's happened over the last month, the domino effect has been fascinating because it seems like these coaches stepping up, they're just stepping in the logical roles. Like it seems like there hasn't been many coaches hired that weren't good fits. I mean, to me, like the one that stands out the most is probably Mark Pope at Kentucky. As far as, you know, it feels like a lot of these, you know, lower tier Power Five teams or like upper tier high majors or mid majors are, you know, making the right hires. So it's been pretty exciting to watch, in my opinion. So where do we go from here? You know,
I'd like to talk about two guards that are actually visiting this week.
So to give a little bit of a rundown of what that looks like, hope I'm not stealing your thunder too much, but you know, Louisville appears to be hosting Ali Khalifa still. It seems like that's not just a smokescreen. Ali Khalifa again is the big man from BYU. Everybody thought that, you know, when he put his name in the transfer portal, he said that he did not want to be contacted, but apparently he already had in his mind he was going to visit BYU, Louisville, and Kentucky. He won't have to visit. Those were his options.
He can go back and visit if he wants.
Yeah, there's reports have come out, though. It sounds like it's a legit thing that Ali Khalifa is interested, and Louisville is equally as interested in Ali Khalifa. You know, we talked about briefly Abubakar Traore, let's call him Abu Traore, is visiting on Thursday. Booby Miller is visiting on Saturday. Umar Ballo was set to visit this week, canceled his visit, ended up committing to Indiana. Corin Johnson from Washington is also set to visit on Saturday as well. At the same time as, who was it again? Booby Miller and Trey Townsend. So a lot of good names
out
there.
Trey Townsend later in – I thought Trey Townsend was later. Am I wrong there?
Trey Townsend is visiting on Thunder Weekend, which is this weekend. So,
oh, you're right. It is this weekend. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's what it was. Trey Townsend visited Arizona and Ohio State first. So we're getting that last visit. Which, by the way, if we get him on that third visit and he hasn't committed to Arizona or Ohio State by that point and he still comes, that's a pretty damn big deal.
Yeah, that makes my small wiener the bigger wiener.
The big wiener. Yes. Yes. I will say two guys that I want to talk about, Boopy Miller, Corin Johnson. We're reaching out to guards, but we haven't had a guard commit yet. If you can get any two of the three, Dante Maddox Jr., Boopy Miller, or Corin Johnson, and you add in Rain Smith, I mean, that's three really solid guards. Maybe you go after one more guard / wing, but Boopy Miller, we saw him last year at Wake Forest. I mean, undersized guard, 6 foot, 165, but like Hooper. Just you look at him, you're like Hooper. Scores in any way, average nearly 16 points a game, 3.5 assists a game too, so a pretty good facilitator as well. Not like crazy athletic, but just like super crafty and like can score in any way, whether it's from three, mid-range, at the rim. Good three-point shooter as well. I think he shot like 36-37% from three, so that fits PK's system. Really plays well in transition as well, so that's another big thing, and has deep range. I think I saw he made 9 threes from deeper than 25 feet, which isn't a ton, but like that's 9 more than I ever made in my career. So I think Boopy Miller's would be a great fit. He's a top 100 player in the transfer portal. And then Corin Johnson from Washington. That's one of the guys that I've heard is like kind of how you started to hear that we were going to get Javon Hadley. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the guy that I've been seeing that he might be the next guy, or he's almost a certainty to, not a certainty, but read a lot that he is very seriously considering Louisville. Cause at one time he had late March or early April, he had top 5 schools. Louisville was not on that. And now all of a sudden he reopened that. And I think we're the only school that I've seen him planning to visit, which is always a good sign. But Corin Johnson, 6'2", 175, long, lengthy dude. Great defender, 1.2 steals per game, widely renowned as being one of the best on-ball defenders, which is not something we have seen at Louisville for over 2 years now. So that'll be really nice. Yeah. Solid three-point shooter as well, 37% on 3.5 attempts, was the Pac-12 sixth man of the year. I think he's a guy that could end up in the NBA with that frame, 6'2", and long arms and can defend. I could easily see him becoming an NBA player. So you give me, like I said, two of the three of Dante Maddox, Corin Johnson, and Boopy Miller, I'm a happy boy.
Yeah, you give me any guard from Wake Forest after watching what Steve Forbes has done since he took over, that excites me. He has this knack for bringing in these tremendous guards and who go on to just absolutely just torch Louisville every single time we play them. I would love to have Boopy Miller. And then, you know, I'm with you with Corin Johnson as well. A guy that nobody's really talking about. I think we've been kind of distracted with the Dante Maddox stuff. But, I mean, look, Pac-12, sixth man of the year is tough to beat. And again, he's another guy that just feels like his statistics fit what Pat Kelsey has done throughout his career so perfectly, right? You know, he has so many guys on the roster that average like 9 to 14 points every single season, no matter what. And his guys, you know, they play 25 to 30 minutes a game, and they're stat stuffers, right? And what I mean by that, when I say stat stuffers for the time that they're playing, 3 assists, 4 rebounds a game, you know, a steal and a half a game, you know, it seems like every single player is contributing across the board. It is a true team effort where you don't have, a concerted effort from one player over the other. And then, you know, he plays the hot hand. So really interesting narrative to watch there. Yeah, I would both of those guys, I would be super stoked to take. Still on the Dante Maddox train, though, I think Louisville needs, you know, a guy that's going to be, you know, an athletic, you know, pass first, an athletic distributor, I guess, that can also shoot it well. I mean, I think he checks every box for what Louisville would be looking for in a primary ball handler. And, you know, from there, then you can go out and find the pieces to kind of fill in the gaps.
Yeah. I think the only question I have, I think I love what Pat Kelsey's doing, becoming the new Arkansas, it feels like, or I guess the new Eric Musselman. Reach, if you're a guard, you're getting reached out to.
Yeah.
It's big for me. Cause I mean, all the guys that we've talked about that are going to visit, I guess, outside of Ali Khalifa, who is a big man, but he averaged more assists than he did rebounds as a center. That's very, very odd. I think he does kind of make a lot of sense for Pat Kelsey's system because he wants that skilled playmaking big. So I actually wouldn't hate the addition as a backup big. But I'm just curious as to where the bigs are going to go from, because we had Omar Balo, but he never, or we didn't have him. We had him scheduled for a visit and then he committed to Indiana before, but I heard he was asking for $1.2 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I watched his film. He is a effing giant. I mean, huge.
Yeah, he's a monster. Yeah.
Like all of probably 7 foot, 280 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that good. He's huge. So, I mean, he's effective in college basketball, but like he is not that skilled. Fouls a lot, has really slow feet, shoots below 50%, not a factor in transition, cannot shoot the ball whatsoever. So and only played like 26 minutes a game because he's so big he can't stay out there that long.
Right.
So, I mean, I would have loved him, but I'm not really that hurt that we lost out on a guy like that. I don't think he fits Pat Kelsey's system.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's 1.2 million good. You know, you know, who am I, right, to be out here saying, oh, well, you know, he might only be 800,000 good. Like we actually know what each player is making. But when you come out and you hear that, you know, AJ Store, like you said, was asking for $1 million+. You know, there's players that still haven't come out reportedly are going to be asking for $1.5 million to $2 million. I don't see Louisville as ever being one of those destinations where they're going to try to pay a guy that much. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, even a guy that, you know, we were so excited to try to get Brandon Huntley Hatfield back. I mean, I can tell you, you know, I won't give figures or anything that I've heard, but I can tell you for a fact that he wasn't making, you know, he wasn't even asking for barely a quarter of what Umar Ballo was asking for. Right. And, you know, I think that you have to go for those type of level-headed type of players, right? Like it's interesting to kind of feel these things out and try to navigate these new waters of NIL, because ultimately it's really hard to surmise what it is that's making a kid come versus not. That's what she said. So I don't know. What do you think, Jake? I mean, there's a number of other players out there as well that we could discuss. I mean, we haven't even brought up Freddie DeLeon V. I mean, it sounds like Louisville has that connection, but maybe they're holding off on giving him an official offer. Any thoughts on the Tennessee transfer?
Yeah, I saw that. I think it was Ty who talked about, it seems like he's more of a guy that if we don't land Dante Maddox Jr. or if we don't land Boopy Miller, whoever it is,
right.
He kind of gets that offer. Cause I mean, I know he was in the class of 2022. Is that right? And then redshirted his first year and then hurt part of the year last year.
Yeah.
But was a top 50 player, 4-star recruit. So a solid player, but definitely not a guy I think me or you would feel comfortable with if you're like, Freddie DeLeon's are starting too next year. Like, I don't think and I don't think that's what the coaching staff views him as either.
No. And I mean, the thing I have to keep reminding myself, right? Like we've become accustomed. I mean, because we sit here and talk almost every single time that Louisville's lost over the last 2 years. And we sit here and talk about, you know, two quote unquote guards playing 35, 40 minutes every single game. You know, you're talking about if L. Ellis wasn't in foul trouble, he was playing 40 minutes every game. You know, Sky Clark, as much as he could be in, he was playing. So we have to kind of take a step back and have to remind myself, you know, if you do get a Nick Boyd or a Freddie DeLeon, one of these guys, they're not necessarily going to be playing that, you know, 35, 40 minute a game role. So even I agree with you. I wouldn't want a guy like DeLeon starting right away. I mean, I think he's a potential power five starter, no doubt. But right now, I mean, we want to win. So we want to bring in guys that are going to help Louisville win right away. Now, if you told me, you know, Nick Boyd is your sixth man, you know, coming from FAU and he's coming in and playing 22 minutes a game, I'd be stoked about that. I think as the roster begins to form, you know, the narrative will begin to mold around, you know, the type of players Louisville gets and then how they fill in the gaps. You know, how are they going to utilize their scholarships? And will they utilize all their scholarships? You know, we saw Kenny Payne in year one used, what, 9 scholarships, 10 scholarships, and used 11 or 12 last year, but then had to burn one on Trenton Flowers, whole big mess there. But it's been a while since we've had 13 scholarship players on a roster. So I'm interested to see.
Also has Fabio Basile and Karan Davis using scholarships as well. So those were essentially burned as well.
Please don't make me throw up. No, man, I'm excited to see where we go from here. You know, the big thing to watch out for right now is some of these big names that are going to be on campus this weekend. Again, to repeat and reiterate some of the names, Corin Johnson from Washington. Let's see. Sorry, I'm kind of looking at an old list. Chris Youngblood canceled his visit. So we got
I can help you out here. We got Corin, Ali Khalifa visiting.
Ali Khalifa, Corin Johnson,
Traore.
Yep.
Traore Jr. Traore. Yeah.
Yep.
Boopy Miller, Corin Johnson, Trey Townsend.
That's what it was.
Jaden Quaintance is also visiting. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if we've got another 2 to 3 commits, maybe by the end of the week. Start of next week. That seems kind of right in line with me, which is nice also, because last year it seemed like, because I was writing those articles last year as well for the transfer portal, and you'd see a guard come out, and it would be Keon Minifield, who ended up going to Arkansas. Louisville reaches out. And then I write about that, and I go and watch his game, and I write about, oh, dude, Keon Minifield could be great. He's so fast. He's a freshman. He's so good. He's electric, shoots threes, all this.
Right.
And then you never hear anything else. We would make that initial list of schools that have reached out, and then it would never be a visit.
Right.
Almost never be a visit. It would never be, we made the top six. So, like, it's really nice to not only be hearing us reaching out to names, but then getting those dudes on campus 5 days after that.
Right, right. It's a new day. It's a new day in Louisville. You know, I'm excited to have a coach that, you know, seems to never sleep and is just embracing NIL. He is, you know, fully invested in embracing NIL. So, you know, it's, as we start to construct this roster, it's going to be, you know, I'm not going to say never before seen type of excitement, but it's going to be excitement that we haven't had around the program in quite a long time. And the fact that they're rebuilding the entire roster.
I was actually going to ask before we get off here. Have you heard anything more on anybody returning from last year's team? I know at one point you were thinking maybe one guy, but that'd be about it.
Yeah. So
like still a chance, or
I think there's a chance. I'll say that. I don't want to give any names or anything away, but I think there is a chance that we see maybe one guy return. You know, if I'm told I can say anything more, I will. But for now, I will say there is a chance that one player returns.
Caron Davis bringing John L with him.
Yes, that's what it is. It's Caron Davis coming back. It's actually Fabio Basile returning for a super sophomore season.
Yes, that year at UT Arlington really prepared him for ACC play.
You know what's funny is, you know, we've been watching a lot of this tape, and I saw, I think it was Trey or Ballo, watching Ballo's tape, and, you know, I'm watching him just cram on fools, and I look up, and I was like, that's literally Fabio Basile right there. It's like that just blew my mind for a second. I was like, was that one of the Island Boys out there? Was he just dunking on the Island Boys?
You know, it is really nice to think about how 2 years ago we were getting excited over players like, or trying to get ourselves excited over players like Caron Davis and Fabio Basile, which are like, you know, one dude, Caron Davis, no one had ever heard of. And then Fabio Basile was like a 197th ranked recruit in that year's class and stuff like that. And I think he didn't reclass to get to Louisville that year too. And now we're talking about like Boopy Miller, who we watched last year score 17 a game, Jaden Quaintance. I cannot say that last name. Quaintance. Trey Townsend, like dudes, all these dudes are going to be on campus. We have seen them. We know they are good. These are dudes that are going to elevate Louisville's status next year. So it is very nice. It is a great time to be excited, and I'm excited with the direction that Coach Kelsey seems to have this program going into.
I'm Jack, bro. And as people can tell, it's become difficult to keep track. You know, like it seems like every time I look up, there's another piece moving. So forgive me as we stumble through some of these names and try to figure out, you know, exactly what the timeline looks like and who players are considering. But I will say it's so refreshing just to see, you know, so many big name players being even talked about around the program, and not in a way that we're being used by a coach so he doesn't lose his job for two more weeks.
Being used as a courtesy visit to help the coach out as they go drive up to Lexington afterwards.
Right. Right.
All right. Last thing, over under right now, 1.5 commits before 1.5 more commits. So Javon Hadley does not count before we'll say Sunday night.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm feeling like, I feel like we're going to have a Thunder hangover. You know, if anybody goes to Thunder, you have that day after hangover. And I'm feeling at least one commit that day. Okay. So I'll say over, but so by the start of next week, I'll say we'll have at least two more commits.
Cool. I'm excited.
I'm firm on that.
All right. Cool. I'm with you there.
Guys, make sure that you get out there. Number one, follow us and like, comment, and subscribe on the podcast. Like, what are you doing? Number one, subscribe on YouTube at the State of Louisville. Number two, if you're listening to us on Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify, whatever it is, wherever you find the podcast, we're there. But make sure you guys rate us. If you subscribe and rate us, we're going to be able to give you a lot more content. You know, if you don't,
I'll start an OnlyFans.
There you go.
Oh, saying it right now.
Say, maybe that's what we need. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is it? If we get a, 100 people to give us 5 stars on Apple Music mm-hmm. before the next time we record, Jake started an OnlyFans. It's decided.
OnlyFans. I'm going to start with feet. I'm going to start light. I'm not just going to go full cock and balls very first post, but I'll start with toes and we'll test the waters.
We'll eventually get up to kneecaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll work our way up the body.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't be more excited about that, Jake. In all seriousness,
make 100 Apple accounts.
And make sure you support our sponsors as well, especially Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon. We did have the official winner of our starting 502 bracket challenge. I guess it's the state of a little bracket challenge, but come on, let's be real. We talk all the basketball around here. The state of a little bracket challenge. We did find our winner. He had emailed us. So, you know, I'm out here tweeting and posting on Facebook trying to find our winner. And he had seen the link through one of our other sponsors, Frankfurt Avenue Liquors. We are stoked to have our winner, and he will be receiving a prize package of a bourbon sampling for two with Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon, a gift card to Frankfurt Avenue Liquor and Wine, and a nice little grab bag from T-shirt Hooligan. So, but make sure that you are supporting our main sponsor here, Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon. A lot of exciting stuff on the horizon, but most importantly for right now with Mr. and Mrs. Bourbon is that you can purchase online at store.mrandmrsbourbon.com. You can follow us on Twitter, on the X, at J. Well, actually, what are you? UofL_updates, Jake Hook? Is that the best way to follow you?
That's a great question. Let me look. I think, it's at UofL_updates. I just always tell people it's the weird cartoon looking cardinal bird.
Yeah. At UofL_updates, at Pressmeyer, at State of Lou on Twitter. And as always, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, as we've already said. Until next time, starting 502 podcast, let's get out of here. Go Cards. Let's get some commits.
Go Cards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.